Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Goodyear Assurance Weather Ready. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The Volume.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire. For Monday, March 11th, and holy cow, I did not expect March 11th to open with three, count them, three big quarterback stories in the NFL. Folks, you know, it's March Madness time. I love college basketball. We'll do a smidgen of women's college basketball, which had some drama of its own on Sunday. We'll do a little NBA later on. It's going to make the Jordan folks unhappy, but they're born unhappy, basically. You got to obviously start with the huge seismic news that broke late last night. Russell Wilson will be signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers for, I believe it's the league minimum, but $1.2 million, a massive bargain for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They get Russell Wilson to compete with Kenny Pickett, and I would assume Mason Rudolph, in what shakes out to be kind of a pedestrian quarterback room. Obviously, Russell Wilson has the pedigree, and he's probably got the inside track to start. He probably doesn't sign there if he's not going to start. But Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh, a bit of a damaging blow to the Justin Fields offseason market. And remember, I was the guy who said Fields had a robust market about 2 months ago when things were looking great for Fields. Before we thought Russell Wilson is going to get dumped. Maybe it was 3 months ago. Before we thought Russell Wilson was going to get dumped. Before we thought Kirk Cousins could go elsewhere. Before we thought, who was the other? Wasn't there another one, another quarterback? It feels like there were several who kind of came Johnny-come-lately action to the scene, and all of a sudden Fields went from having three or four suitors, maybe five, to, uh-oh, Pittsburgh was supposed to be a potential landing spot for Fields, and now it's Russell Wilson. Listen, I went on the herd Friday, and I said I didn't think it was a great fit. I still don't think it is. I mean, I'm rooting for Russ. You know I like him. I do believe he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's had a great career. I mean, if I asked you who has more playoff wins, Dan Marino or Russell Wilson, who would you guess? I mean, Dan Marino is considered like a top five quarterback ever. Russell Wilson, 9 playoff wins. Dan Marino, 8. I know playoff wins are not everything. Wins are not a quarterback stat. But at some point, they have value, do they not? We can't say, you know, Justin Fields is 20 games under 500 as a quarterback, and then say, well, playoff wins don't matter. Like, you can't have it both ways. You know, it's got to matter some or a lot, and I fall into some. And Russell Wilson gets to the playoffs a lot, or got to the playoffs a lot, and had a lot of success, a lot of it in Seattle, obviously, and earlier in his career, now not so much. However, at $1.2 million, Pittsburgh's got some options. Now, they probably spend too much on defense. They're going to have to kind of recalibrate that. But this is a big, big win for the Steelers and Mike Tomlin. I don't want to go overboard, but it kind of makes you wonder, what does Kirk Cousins do? Does his price go up because of what happened with Baker Mayfield, which we'll get to, because of what happened with Mac Jones, which we'll get to? is all of a sudden Kirk Cousins a big, big target? Because after him, the loser gets Justin Fields. My two big talking points on Russell Wilson, why I don't think it will be successful in Pittsburgh. Number one, the last coach Russ went to was Sean Payton. And right out of the gate, Payton was like, all right, no more getting your own office. No more kissing babies. You're a quarterback. You're not running for mayor. It was like a little combative. And he was, I think, setting the tone because of what Nathaniel Hackett did the year prior. It was like, oh, I'm not the biggest deal here. Russell Wilson, we traded for you. What would you like? How can I help you? And Russ kind of ran the show and did whatever he want. And Sean Payton was like, yeah, we're not doing that. And it started off with kind of a combative tone. What do you think Mike Tomlin is, guys? Mike Tomlin is a fiery coach who, oh, by the way, is in the final year of his deal. I don't know if he wants to come back. I don't know if he wants to go to the announcing booth or just retire. I don't know. He's on the final year of his deal. Like, what do you think he's going to be like in Pittsburgh, knowing that they need to win? And they've had some issues in the wide receiver room, right? He's had problems with Pickens. He's had problems with Johnson. And now you've got two, I don't want to call them alphas, but they act like they're alphas. And if they're chirping to Russell Wilson, how's he going to handle that? I mean, bro, you got run out of Seattle and you got run out of Denver. This is your last stop. Russ has to kind of fundamentally change who he is. I told the stories here on the pod about, you know, he didn't want his teammates having his phone number. He had a big party and didn't want them knowing where he lived. So they had a bus, like a party bus, pick up the teammates from like an undisclosed place and bring them to his house. It's like, what's going on? Why are you acting like this? Stories about Russell Wilson wanting to tell the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator and the head coach some ideas and some thoughts, and he wrote them down and had some minion bring them to the coaches instead of just, hey, let's talk about this, guys. Like, is he afraid of confrontation? I don't know. But that's not leadership behavior. That's not normal quarterback behavior. Now, some of that's out there and other stuff I've heard and, you know, maybe haven't said it before. But I do like Russ. I just wonder if fundamentally he's got to be a different person of who he's been the last like 3 or 4 years. It hasn't worked. Seattle teammates go on radio, podcast, TV and kind of bash him, you know? That's not particularly normal. And I worry Pittsburgh is a difficult spot for him. I guess Tomlin is a little desperate. Since Roethlisberger, it's been tough sledding. And I don't know if this is going to get much better. The offensive line was solid this year, but not spectacular. I think Russ is probably the fourth best quarterback in the division. Like, when Tom Brady left New England, he went to Tampa, which essentially was like, oh, Tampa's on the cusp. They had Jameis Winston. Their uphill battle to catch New Orleans, but like Carolina was nothing special. And the other team in that division, nothing special. Like you had four teams and it's like, okay. You know, Saints had Breeze near the end and there was an opportunity. You could see some upside. It's like, oh, they could challenge and quickly. And they were like a little over 500 at the bye week and then get to the Super Bowl. Russell Wilson's going to the division where every team finished above 500 last year. You got the reigning MVP in Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, who were the number one seed. You got Joe Burrow and the Bengals, who were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And you've got the Browns and the coach of the year in Kevin Stefanski with Deshaun Watson back at quarterback. They, by the way, made a nice trade for Jerry Jeudy over the weekend. So now, Deshaun Watson will be throwing to Jeudy and Amari Cooper. They have a really good tight end. We'll see what happens in the backfield, although anybody they've plugged in has worked. It just feels like that division, like, I don't know, man. You guys know I was pushing the Minnesota Vikings last week. That division, much easier. NFC, much easier than what he's got to face in the AFC. And I'm sure Russ is up for a challenge, and I don't know, man. It doesn't feel like a situation where he's going to thrive. Could he get to 500? Sure. And I know you'll say, wait, Jason, they were above 500 last year with worse quarterbacks. Yeah, and they got beat in the playoffs by Buffalo, and they did have injuries. And sure, things could be better. this year. But what are they winning 11 games all of a sudden? Are they winning 12? Like, I don't know, guys. I would give this signing for Russ like a C+. I mean, just think about it. Pittsburgh is one of those cities that is blue collar, tough. You know, you think of Pittsburgh, you think of a tough city. Like, put on your hard hat. We're going to play some tough, grind it out in the trenches football. I don't know how Russ will handle the tough part of it. So that was obviously the biggest move of the weekend. The second biggest had to be Baker Mayfield staying in Tampa Bay.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Yokohama tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Yokohama test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. How about JMU making the conference championship game? How about Gonzaga, which always advances out west? Moneyline parlay. I'll take a look. I'm not giving out betting advice, but I will take a look. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code STRAIGHTFIRE. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code STRAIGHTFIRE. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bleepball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. So essentially, Baker Mayfield last year signs a one-year, $4 million deal with the Bucks. Right? It was basically prove it, Baker. You know, you flamed out in Cleveland, right? Then after that, you were in Carolina for a hot minute. The Rams gave you a life preserver, and then you landed with the Bucks. And four teams in like 5 years, it essentially was like, put up or shut up, Baker. You're going to be out of the league soon. You had a good run, and Baker showed up. Is it the best season of his career? Most touchdowns, Tampa, a surprise team into the playoffs. They win a playoff game. It was quite a run. And then everybody starts saying, well, what are you paying Baker Mayfield? Well, I don't know. Daniel Jones is pretty much the barometer for stupid. The Giants gave him about 40 mil per, and that's blown up in their face. So Baker could say, hey, I'm not taking a hometown discount, as he reportedly said. And then at the end of the day, it's like, okay, we'll give you a, and I'm putting up the air quotes here, 3 years, $100 million. And I put up the air quotes because the NFL, and it's funny because I think Rob was the first to point this out, maybe back on my radio show back in the day when he was producer of it, that the NFL funny money, like these contracts are announced and it's like, yeah, big, big bucks. And then you're like, okay, take a deep breath, 20-second timeout. The quarterback market has not been reset. Then you see, oh, he's going to make $30 million in 2024. And then in 2025, he's getting $30 million, but only $20 million is guaranteed. A lot of incentives. And then the final year, which he's slated to make $40 million, we know he'll never see, I'm sure. It will, you know, there'll be an out, so they won't have to pay that if he's not, you know, performing up to snuff in 2 years from now. So essentially, Baker Mayfield got 2 years, $50 million with some incentives, okay? That's the number I think you need to look at when you think about Kirk Cousins in free agency. Baker Mayfield obviously had a good year. They're bringing back Mike Evans. They got Godwin. They did lose Dave Canales, the offensive coordinator, who was excellent. I'm going to go ahead and assume we'll see some regression from Tampa Bay. However, you have to wonder, did Tampa say, this is our max, we don't want to go any higher? And Baker's like, yeah, I like the town, I like the team, I like everything, I'll take it. Or did the Vikings pony up? Because, I don't know, would it have been crazy to say Baker's making $30 million a year, 2 years, $60 million? Because if they're willing to pay Baker only 25 a year, remember Daniel Jones got 40. Okay, what is the market going to do for Kirk Cousins? One big name off, and I say big name, relatively speaking, is off the table. Okay, now you're left with, if you're Atlanta, trade for Justin Fields or sign Kirk Cousins. Kirk will undeniably be the most expensive. How high are you willing to go for a quarterback? I don't know, let's be real, he has two playoff wins. I know some of the numbers are really good, but I don't know, is he, if you're paying Kirk $40 million, is he $15 million a year better than Baker Mayfield? I mean, you know what you can do with that extra $15 million to build out the roster? So I thought this was a great deal for Tampa. I thought it was a great deal for Baker. Imagine going from 1 year, $4 million, to getting $30 million in 2024. And oh, by the way, in Florida, the taxes, yeah, really nice windfall for Baker to more than 7X what his earnings were last season. And he earned it. There's no way around it. So my question to you, Rob, is when I see Baker to Tampa, I see Mac Jones getting shipped from New England to Jacksonville. If Minnesota gets cold feet and says, oh, we're going to bring Kirk back. We're going to bring him back. We don't want to lose him. He's a guy. Atlanta kind of by default gets Justin Fields. So is that how it's shaping up for you, Rob? That's kind of what I saw over the weekend.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And what this does is this makes the quarterback carousel a little bit clearer. Kirk Cousins, if he were not coming off an Achilles injury, I don't even think it would be a question. I don't even think Minnesota would have a figure that say we're not going to go above this amount because Kirk Cousins has been that good in Minnesota. Before he tore his Achilles in week 8, Kirk Cousins was leading the NFL in touchdown passes,
true,
was second in passing yards. Okay. During his Minnesota tenure, with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of changeover with the wide receiver position especially, he's thrown 171 touchdowns against 55 interceptions, 264 yards a game, and a completion percentage right around 68. Like, it would not be any kind of debate about what they're going to do in that front office with Kirk Cousins. But again, he's coming off the Achilles. The Daniel Jones contract has sent shockwaves through the NFL because it's made front offices realize we cannot just continue to reset the market because the next guy is up and he happens to play quarterback. At some point, we have to pay the player, not the position. Baker Mayfield is exhibit A for that regard.
Yeah.
A quarterback's supposed to be $40 million. He's getting 25, right? So if Minnesota ultimately decides that we are not going to give Kirk Cousins that 40 to 45 plus million dollar a year, then I don't know what's going to happen with the rest of these teams.
Yeah. The weirdest part is when you think about Fields, you have to give up something to get him.
Right.
Right? I just saw Mac Jones go for a sixth. Mac Jones did get the Patriots to the playoffs in his rookie year, all downhill after that.
He was a Pro Bowler.
He was, indeed. Mac Jones had a great rookie year, and it's been all downhill there. Justin Fields has had moments. That's it. That's all. He's had some moments. Zach Wilson, the Jets may have to end up cutting him because after you see Mac went for a six, I think, like you said, the quarterback market resetting. He's getting recalibrated, and it's like, we're not giving you anything for Zach. You've got to attach a sixth or seventh if we're taking this guy. Like, that's what my read is on Zach Wilson. Now, maybe if Sam Darnold leaves the 49ers in some capacity and gets something somewhere, maybe the Niners will pony up a sixth or a seventh. But the Cowboys clearly overpaid for Trey Lance for a fourth-round pick. That, like, Trey Lance is on the least of any of these guys. And maybe that's the only justification. Hey, we haven't really seen enough of Trey Lance. Maybe we'll give up a fourth. That looks like a bad deal by the Cowboys. And so now we don't know what Fields is going to fetch. I remember Schefter had reported, I think 2 months ago, Fields could get one. And that's not happening. Is he going to get a two? I don't think he's even going to get a second round pick. A third and a fifth? Fourth and a sixth? It almost, like you said, it feels like the quarterback market is a little depressed right now. And I don't, you know, you don't want to get too knee-jerk based on early returns, but Rob, like, I don't know that it totally shocked me if somebody made a move on Fields to be their backup, like Jalen Hurts. You can back up Jalen Hurts. Now, Fields might not want that, but guess what? If you're not going to be a starter anyway, you don't want to go to a crap team. At least be along for the ride somewhere good where you can learn under a good offensive coach and have a chance to fill in when the quarterback, when the starter goes down.
Yeah, and to be quite honest with you, and I like Justin Fields. I like his talent. I wouldn't mind if he was the Raiders quarterback, to be quite honest with you, if we can get one of the top three guys. However, as we told on this podcast, reporters out of Vegas say that one of the reasons why they hired Getsy, the offensive coordinator, is because they believe that the Chicago issues offensively were not due to the play calling. They were due to the quarterback. So that kind of takes him off the list right off the bat. But even with all that in mind, Justin Fields is the personification of beggars cannot be choosers, all right? Since he came into the league, 2021, Justin Fields last among 38 qualified quarterbacks in fourth quarter interceptions with 16, 36th in completion percentage, 56, 33rd in QBR, 41.4. In 38 career starts, Justin Fields has thrown for over 225 passing yards six times. Jason, 18 different guys last year averaged at least 230 yards passing per game. Okay, this quarterback class in 2021 is going to go down, for my money, as one of the most disappointing quarterback classes in NFL history when you factor in the expectations, right? You mentioned Trey Lance, traded before we even knew if he could play football. So that's number one. Zach Wilson, we know, can't play, right? He might be the worst starting quarterback in the NFL last season. All right, Mac Jones just got traded for a fourth round pick. Justin Fields is about to get traded. And even when he has played, statistically, he's been one of the worst quarterbacks, point blank, period. And the crown jewel of the class, Trevor Lawrence, I know you're higher than him than I am, but he has 60 turnovers in his first three seasons. He's a sub-500 quarterback, and this is the era of the NFL when it's easier to throw than ever. So this whole group as a collective has been very underwhelming. And if I'm Justin Fields, to coming back full circle, I know that you want to go to a good situation. I believe situation matters just as much, if not more, than talent. But given what he's put on tape, given what the numbers say that he is, he's just going to have to get in where he can fit in, no matter where that is.
I just had to Google this, the Lawrence thing. His career record is 20-30.
Jeez.
And he was supposed to be the next Andrew Luck. But P.S., Andrew Luck's first 3 years in the league, he was in the playoffs. And I think the third year they went to the AFC Championship game. It's weird because even if you throw out that Urban Meyer debacle as a rookie when he led the league in picks, he's still a 500 quarterback. Like, And they were in first place, I believe, in November. And then absolutely, maybe it was October. Oh, no, it was November. And then they just cratered the rest of the way. So just a weird situation at quarterback. And, you know, here we go. It's going to be the next batch. Is the Jaden Daniels hype out of control? I mean, come on. I'm hearing, reading and hearing people say, oh, well, Jaden Daniels, he could go too. Drake May, spotty. It's getting silly. All right, let's pivot real quick. Buying tickets to a big event can be frustrating, especially if you're like me and tend to wait until the last minute. You know what I'm talking about. You're all excited to buy, but all the best seats are gone, and the ones they do have left are wildly overpriced. I'm here to say you shouldn't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and the best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I was on the Game Time app this morning and saw my guy, the chef, is coming into town next month, and you know I'm going to be in the building for that one. And with Game Time, I know that when I'm finally ready to buy tickets for me and the fam, I'm going to get great seats at a great value. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase, and they're obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsor deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And the Game Time guarantee means that you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code JMAC for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code JMAC for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We'll go NBA. I was going to do the women's college basketball stuff from Sunday, but I quickly want to go NBA. So I think I've said this a lot. I would love to be wealthy enough so I don't have to be on social media. I mean, Instagram I like. I just hate Twitter. It's such a cesspool. It's just, it sucks. And it stinks that I have to actually be on there and kind of deal with it. It's part of the job, right? I'm not at the level of Cowherd or Stephen A. Smith where I just, they don't care about this stuff. I'm still like, I got to pay attention to it. I got to know what's going on. And I refuse to go on TikTok for the longest time, even though my wife is like, listen, you could start doing some stuff on TikTok. Like, there's sports people on there. There's gambling stuff. So finally, reluctantly, I go on TikTok. I kind of repurpose some stuff, but I'm not like putting in the effort. I probably open the app once every 4 weeks. Okay. Rob G tells me that some TikTok trend was amazing and it has been so good that it has leaked over onto IG and Twitter. And it's about the NBA. And apparently, the trend is everybody started looking at, or not everybody, but some TikTok people started looking at 90s NBA highlights. And they were like, wait a minute, wait, hold up, hold up. Hold on. These 90s NBA highlights, this is the era you guys said was amazing? And so what these guys did is they cut up 90s highlights. You know, Michael Jordan against a lot of expansion team kids. Like, I joked that it's plumbers, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they, you know, mix the video with a bunch of highlights from the current NBA where you have guys like Jalen Green. By the way, I got two texts from people about Jalen Green. And one of them was about a dunk. The other was about him, I guess, a relationship with some super important woman that I am not really familiar with. But Jalen Green had a dunk over the weekend that was so thunderous, I had to show my kids. I was like, oh my God, this is insane. And I guess this whole trend was when you look at the 90s highlights, oh, here's Michael Jordan driving in. He does some fancy layup. Cool. Or he does like a dunk. And then you look at the dunks from today, and it's like a totally different brand of dunking and ferocity and athleticism. And it's just like, oh my God. Like Anthony Edwards, I don't know if you guys saw this last night. Anthony Edwards tried to end Anthony Davis in the Wolves-Lakers game. He just went up, and Anthony Edwards had some hops that, like, maybe we've never seen before. When the block that he had on, I believe it was Thursday night, was unbelievable. It looked like when he was in the lane running back to get to play defense, and he took a step down and then popped up. It looked like he was off a trampoline. That's how high and fast he went and got this game-saving block that was just insane. He hit his head on the rim, not like grazed it, like hit the rim pretty hard with his head. Looked like he could have broken his wrist on the fall. Scary. And Anthony Edwards is just an athletic freak. And then you've got people who are like, wow, the 90s NBA was really better. And you know, Rob, we've been beating this into a pulp for, I don't know, years now? And people are now starting to see, oh, wait a minute. You're saying the 15-win expansion Heat in the 1991 season, or whatever it was in the early 90s, they didn't have good players? And then, you know, of course, the jabronis now are like, oh, what about the Pistons? They stink. And then you're like, timeout. Cade Cunningham would have been like an all-star in the early 90s. Like, Mark Price was an NBA all-star. Like, he was a solid point guard. I mean, I don't know, Rob. I'll let you take it away because you're hot on this and you were the one who found it.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm not going to go so far as to say we're done with the 90s. I know it's the big trend. But we've been beating this drum for years now. 90s NBA basketball was not the peak of the association. We'll put it lightly, okay? And if you don't believe me, you don't believe Jason, you don't believe the TikTokers, I get it. Do you believe Hall of Famer Dennis Rodman, who played on the Bulls teams, the greatest team ever, saying, quote, the league is so filtered and watered down, we can beat anybody with our eyes closed, pretty much. Jerry Sloan, who coached arguably the second greatest team of that era behind Jordan's Bulls, saying, quote, you look at the overall picture, it definitely is diluted to some extent. You can get by with just three great players on a team and have a chance to win it all. Okay. Charles Barkley, Larry Bird have said similar things. They're saying that the league has thinned out. The expansion has kind of ruined the depth of the league. Look, I don't want to bash the guys who came in front because they ultimately paved the way. I'm assuming your favorite player was either inspired by someone who played in the 90s or inspired by somebody who was inspired by somebody who played in the 90s. Like, Kobe has gone on record multiple times saying, you know, he watched Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Michael Jordan, and that made him great. So then that led to guys like Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kevin Durant saying Kobe inspired them, and the list goes on and on and on. But we just got to be honest with ourselves, right? You look at technology. The TV does not get fuzzier as it gets newer, right? Technology only gets better. Sports, athletes get bigger, stronger, faster. They get more information. It's played at a different speed. It's played with different athleticism. They have more information. The offenses and defenses are more complex than they've ever been. Pick your favorite sport. That's what's going on. And if you just want to look at highlights, right, because you brought up the Jaylen Brown dunk, and that was awesome. I saw that one as well. But you mentioned, you know, the Jordan dunks, and they show highlights of everything he did and things that Charles Barkley did and how incredible they were for that era. If you just look up, and I'm being dead serious about this, go on YouTube and search Bubble NBA Playoff Highlights and just watch some of the things that Jamal Murray was doing, that Donovan Mitchell was doing, hell, that TJ Warren was doing. And these guys are good players, well, other than TJ Warren. But these guys are good players. I think Jamal Murray's great. I think Donovan Mitchell's great. They are not viewed as upper echelon Hall of Fame type players, but they are doing things that Michael Jordan was getting commercials built off of and running highlights for three decades later. Jamal Murray had two layups in one game that were better than any in-game move that Michael Jordan has ever made. And that's just facts. Like, that's not me trying to be
Rob. Somebody's going to clip that off and be like,
I'm not trying to be a hater. It's just like, that's the natural progression of life. That's the natural progression of sports. And so, yeah, like the 90s, it was a different brand of basketball. It should be appreciated for what it is, but don't try to compare what that was to what we see today.
Yeah, I'm with you. I gotta dig into this TikTok trend. It's just such a time suck TikTok. That's my big issue with it. You could end up scrolling, and next thing you know, it's like 15 minutes have gone by, and you've seen videos by random people you don't even know, and now that stuff's seeping into your brain. I don't know. I mean, NBA highlights are a different animal. I'll say this. Like, Dominique Wilkins was the human highlight film, and he was an awesome human highlight reel, whatever it was. He was an awesome dunker. I love Dominique Wilkins. But just because you were a kid, and that really seared in your memory, those amazing 80s, 90s NBA plays. Again, if you go back and try on YouTube to watch like an entire game, I'm just telling you guys, real talk, it is bad basketball. It's everybody clogged in the lane defensively. It's lumbering centers, back to the basket stuff. it looks like a different sport. And again, I'm not criticizing it. That's how it is. It's just different. It's not wrong or right. It's just different. I mean, I think anybody with a clue would say it's better, but you know, we have people wedded to we're in our camps, we're in our tribes. I'm in the Jordan tribe. I'm going to only share stuff with Jordan. And people unwilling to come off. And so it's not even worth talking to them about. Anyways, we'll quickly wrap up. College basketball over the weekend. You know, men's college hoops was good. The cream, C-R-E-A-M, Abdul-Jabbar and Indiana State, they lost in the MVC conference championship game. I had Indiana State. I hope they make the tournament because that guy's good and that team is fun to watch if you watch any of that game. But the actual bigger story, there were two and they were both in women's basketball, bigger than anything that happened on the men's side. I know the Duke kid trying to trip somebody in the UNC game. I had Duke, so rotten. Not a great Saturday Sunday after like an amazing 2-month run. But Caitlin Clark and Iowa fall behind by 8 against Nebraska. With like 2:30 left, you're like, it's over. Caitlin Clark, maybe Iowa's not that great. Maybe they're not going to cut down the nets. And Caitlin Clark just becomes like a different. She goes Steph/LeBron, took the game over, scores, assists, game tying layup. They force overtime, and then they get the lead in overtime and pull away and win. It was just like there's something about this team. Like I actually made it a point to seek out this game. Like I wanted to see what happened. I'm pot committed to Caitlin Clark. Like it is a great story. And you know what? It's going to end here in the next month. And that's it. And the comment that is Caitlin Clark will leave college basketball and go to the WNBA. And it ain't really going to be the same. Remember, Steph Curry at Davidson. What an unbelievable tournament. And I think I'm almost certain the next year they did not make it. Then he goes to the pros and he's in like Golden State. And sure, he had a couple of highlights, but he was like, injured, and then he was battling Monta Ellis in the backcourt. It wasn't working, and it was, and it took a few years. So, like, I just don't know if the audience has patience to watch Caitlin Clark in the WNBA and have a few years and get committed to the Indiana Fever. I can't believe that's their name, but I guess it is. And then Caitlin Clark was going to be the biggest story, and then LSU South Carolina played. And I know nobody cares, and you guys want to be like, Jason, what are you talking about? This is larger than like a women's basketball game. So LSU won the title last year. They talked a lot of trash. The Angel Reese talks a lot. She was the one pointing at her finger in Caitlin Clark's face. Good drama. By the way, the podcast last year when we recorded it, talking about that, it did good numbers because there's some drama around it. So this year, South Carolina is even better than LSU. They're undefeated. They needed a prayer in one of what I called on Instagram, one of the worst 1 second left defensive moments I've ever seen in basketball, any level. They did not guard the inbounder, who were inbounding at half court, and they decided not to guard the tall girl on South Carolina, who basically just got a wide open three-point look. I'm telling you, nobody within 5 feet of her, and she banks it in, and they win the game at the buzzer. It was the worst defense ever. So South Carolina goes to the title game against LSU, and you could tell within the first like 5 minutes, these teams hate each other. A lot of trash talking, and if you remember, Thomas Casale came on this podcast. I know Rob remembers it, because we talked about it afterward. And he had a phenomenal point. Men's college basketball has been like neutered. They don't let the guys talk trash. There's no like hitting people with the too small, flexing, jaw jack, all that stuff. They nip it in the bud quickly. They don't want like an incident. Women's college basketball has embraced it. And you saw it with the Caitlin Clark LSU game last year. You've seen it this year. When somebody rejects Caitlin Clark's shot, they're like, you know, like, you know, kind of moving the shoulders like LeBron or like stare downs. Like they're letting you know. And there is something cool to that, I will say. However, there's a fine line, okay, of how much of that crap you let go. And LSU and South Carolina, the entire first half was basically talking trash. There's a girl in South Carolina who's pretty good, and she scored 2 buckets in traffic and instantly went with the too small. I think that's kind of a lame, oh, you're too small. I think it's lame, but she did this twice. Another girl scored like a tough shot in transition, fell to the ground, no foul call, scored it, and like sitting on her butt, she starts flexing while sitting down after she scored a basket. It's not even like the end of the game. Meanwhile, LSU inbounds the ball, is coming up court. She sat on the ground and was flexing. It was a little too much, and you could tell the announcers even said, this is getting out of, like, come on, you got it. Refs have to get this under control. So, of course, there's like 2 minutes left. LSU turns it over and commits a foul. One of those, like, I got to foul the person before they get a breakaway, Jim. A breakaway layup. And the refs call the foul. And the South Carolina girls, basically in this LSU girl's face, were just like, yeah, it's over. And you know what? I'm not going to pretend to know what they said. And the girl just had enough, you know? Like, everybody has a breaking point. And this girl shoves a South Carolina player. And then, of course, the seven-footer who hit the bank shot comes in and decks, and I mean decks, the LSU player. And then Bedlam breaks out. And if you watch the video, if you have it at this point, I'm telling you, please seek it out. A fan from like the third row comes running down and jumps over the scorer's table onto the court and like puts his hands on the seven-footer from South Carolina. It's unclear which side he was for, but this is like a fan with a backwards hat. The police see him. They jump into action and grab him. Instantly, he's in handcuffs. And it was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is out of control. And I'm telling you, LSU talks a lot of trash. South Carolina talks even more. And the referees did nothing. And I know it sounds like, Jason, you committed a lot of time to women's basketball. Listen, I coached my daughter. We just finished an undefeated regular season. Me and another coach. And my son's season ended. And like, I like sports. I like getting energized. I've posted some videos of my kids scoring, and I'm all fired up. Like, sports are fun. They're entertainment. Enjoy it. But there's a line that can be crossed. And, Rob, I'm telling you, it was crossed big time in this game by I thought, South Carolina. And the refs didn't nip it. And now you've got South Carolina's, I don't know if she's a seven-footer, but she's huge. She's now suspended because they deemed, when she decked the LSU kid, they deemed that fighting. So she's suspended for the first game of the NCAA tournament. South Carolina's undefeated. And I don't know. It was kind of a blemish on what was a kind of a exciting day in women's college basketball. Now, Rob, I just did like a 4-minute rant on women's college hoops. That's probably more than I've done in the last 10 months combined. But did you see any of this? Do you have a reaction? I thought the fan jumping in was a little scary because it's like, who is this guy? What side is he on? Why is he putting his hands on a player? I was a little wigged out by that.
I did watch it. Well, I watched it as much as I could. I was watching it at Knott's Berry Farm on my phone. So we were waiting in line, got a lot of downtime, right? So I was able to keep up with it. Quick clarification. So the fan who jumped onto the court was the brother of the girl who got pushed down.
Oh!
So that was the reason why he jumped on the floor and why he was escorted away by police but not actually arrested. I think that's the reason why. It's because he's related. He was deemed to be a peacemaker. And he wasn't, you know, meaning to instigate the incident or escalate the incident.
Interesting.
Okay, however, so that's number one. Number two, and I know that you totally disagree with this because I'm going to disagree with you. I didn't mind all the chippiness with South Carolina and LSU. And from this perspective, obviously in sports, things are going to get heated. There's a certain line that can't be crossed. And obviously it was crossed there, especially at the end. So I understand that part. That part is absolutely point taken. But one thing I will say is, the biggest knock, in my opinion, or excuse me, the second biggest knock, because the biggest knock on college sports for women or women's professional sports, period, is the athleticism that you get in the men just is totally different than the women, right? Like the men in tennis serve it much faster than the women, no matter how great Serena Williams might be. LeBron James can dunk all over anybody in the NBA, even at age 39, that if he played in women's basketball, he'd average like 110 points a game, right? Like that's just, it's genetics. It's biology. There's nothing you can do about the peak man versus the peak woman in sports. The men's probably going to win every single time. But the second biggest issue I think that is facing women's sports is that either consciously or subconsciously, sports fans do not want their women to act like men. They expect their women to still have some kind of quote unquote ladylike features when they're playing. They don't like the yelling, the screaming, the pounding of the chest, the show of emotion, the things that Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer were doing on a tennis court after they would make a big serve or a big win. Screaming, yelling, pumping their fists were celebrated. Early on in Serena Williams' career, when she was doing things like that, it was, well, what is she doing? She's showing up for competition. She shouldn't be doing that. That's not the way a champion should ask. When the men were doing the exact same thing and they were getting celebrated for it. And I believe when it comes to women's college basketball or women's basketball particularly, the things that make the men so exciting, the yelling, the confrontations, the physical play, the things that we embrace in the male game still kind of get frowned upon in the women's game. So when you see a team, a game like yesterday, where these two teams obviously have bad blood, obviously have a rivalry that's real, that's not manufactured, this is not a media creation. These two teams do not like each other. These players do not like each other. So when you see it kind of spill out onto the floor in a healthy competition, again, right up until the very end, I think that's good. I think you need more stuff like that to make it more socially acceptable so that the casual fan can get behind the sport.
That's a good point. Dawn Staley's the coach at South Carolina. They're really, really good. She knows what she's doing. She was a college basketball player of some renown when I was in a young guy growing up, and I remember her just being completely dominant at UVA. They went to three Final Fours and a Natty. I don't think they ever won the championship, but she was such a good player. And you could see her as a coach. She's fiery. That team is really good. And it seems like the number one seeds are going to be Iowa and Caitlin Clark, South Carolina, maybe Stanford, UConn probably. And I had this take on Friday on The Herd, Rob, that I want Caitlin Clark to get the Duke treatment. I want her in the Final Four. I need that. And people are like, oh, well, Caitlin Clark doesn't want that. Well, yeah, I know she doesn't want that. But I don't care what she wants. The millions of people watching, and I think they had like a record for the national championship last year, or the Final Four, whatever it was. But she's setting records along the way. Millions of people want this. Caitlin Clark is one person. I don't care if she wants to face the best in the Sweet 16. Nobody cares. We want her winning in the Sweet 16. Now, I'm not saying you rig it. People are flipping out and saying, oh, Jason, you just want to rig. No, I want her to get the Duke treatment. The NCAA tournament for years gave Duke the easiest path to the Final Four. And it would be like, the brackets would come out, you'd be like, what a joke. Look at Duke. They got to play like all these weak teams in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. They're all locked to go to the Final Four. And you know what would happen? Duke would get to the Final Four. And guess what? Everybody was happy. And I mean the fans, because you either loved or hated Duke. It's weird, Rob. We're not going to get to it now, but I'm starting to feel like Caitlin Clark has been so good and so powerful for college basketball and such a talking point that she's becoming polarizing herself. You either love her or you just don't like her at all. And I did not know there was a don't like Caitlin Clark fan, but people I think are like, hey, there's other teams in women's basketball. There's other players. Yeah, no shit. We get that, but I don't care about them. Are they doing supernatural things like Caitlin Clark? Are they shattering every record known to man? Oh, well then, yeah, I'm not that into them. And I have no connection to 90% of women's college basketball. But I think this tournament's fascinating. I'll be honest, Rob. We're going to have some men's tournament guests this week. I'm pondering, do we get a guest to talk about Caitlin Clark? Like, I don't know, a beat writer from Iowa. I have no idea. I don't know if the audience would like that or if they... Sometimes the audience will see what the headline is for the podcast, and they'll just say, I'm going to pass on this one. And I do that with other podcasts. On iTunes, I have Follow the Joe Rogan podcast. And I'll see, oh, it's a comedian? That's a skip. Unless it's like David Spade or somebody I really like. I'm just skipping it. Oh, it's a bow hunter guy. Yeah, that's not for me. It's a philosopher. Oh, I'm interested in that. And I'll skip over guests. So, I don't know, Rob. We'll see how it goes. I'm very curious where the audience is. If you guys want to let me know, or Rob, you know where to find us on social. What's your interest level in Clark, Rob?
I'm locked in. I'm just like our guest said last week. I'm way more interested in the women's brackets than I am in the men. And Caitlin Clark is the primary reason why. She is box office. She is everything that you want in a college star, man or woman. She's a great performer. Well, she's a great player, number one. She's a great performer, number two, which is almost just as important in the college game. Like, people liked watching J.J. Redick, not just because he played for Duke and he was a good player, but because he would do the things that get under your skin and he was good at playing to the crowd. Trae Young is great at that in Atlanta with the New York Knicks. Like, things that make you either love or hate him keep you locked in. And Caitlin Clark is just like that as a player. And in addition to that, I believe David Stern said it best when he was talking about the NBA playoffs when he was still in charge. They said, what's your ideal finals matchup? And he said, it's the Lakers against the Lakers. Right? So what that means is, give me whatever's going to give the best television ratings possible. Yeah. And Caitlin Clark is box office. She drives interest. She drives eyeballs. I'm with you. I hope they give her the cakest bracket possible so we can end up with some combination of Iowa, South Carolina, and LSU in the Final Four.
That would be amazing.
Point blank period.
Yeah. All right, that's it for today. We're back tomorrow. Talk to you then.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.